Thank you. My name is LJ. I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. So my story is kind of short. I started overeating probably at birth. my earliest memories of me overeating, and I always used to think I was a normal weight. I'd have the opposite of bulimia. I'd look in the mirror and not see the fat person looking back at me. I'd see a thin person. So I would think I could eat more. And that sort of ruled my life. And any emotional problems I would have, I would eat at them. And I was an awkward child. And I didn't have a lot of friends, and I wasn't social. I was fearful. Everything scared the shit out of me. And I wasn't very well liked. And I was brought up in a religious house with a father who was an active alcoholic and a mother who's a narcissist, and a brother who's a paranoid schizophrenic. So, it was hard. I was molested by my grandmother for years, and I was pretty messed up. And food, alcohol, and drugs were always there. And I started drinking at a young age because alcohol was everywhere at family functions. It was food and alcohol everywhere. And you couldn't go to any function, whether it was a death in the family, a birth in the family, a wedding, whatever it was, there was alcohol and food. And so that's what I knew. That's all I knew how to do. And in 1983, I started Alcoholics Anonymous. And I had heard about OA, and I went to a meeting. But I wasn't ready. I looked around the room and I thought, oh, these people are crazy. And I saw obese people and I saw very, very thin people and I judged them all. And I said to myself, there's no way I could stick to this food plan. It's too hard. I can't do this. And so I never went back. And what happened to me was I got heavier and heavier. I started having diabetic problems. I was type 2 diabetic. And my liver malfunctioned because of all the drugs and alcohol I was doing when I was 20. And I came into AA in 20, when I was 23 and put down the drugs and the alcohol. And it took me a lot of years to come back to OA. And what happened was, I went to my doctor's. I have a monthly visit with her. And I went to her, and she looked at my test results and she said, "What are we going to do with you? I can't put you on any more medication. You're already taking like 20 different prescriptions. And your diabetes is out of control, and you have a fatty liver, and your cholesterol is off the charts. I don't know what else to do for you. Can you think of something to do? Because you're going to die if you keep doing this. I'm not going to be able to save you." So I thought about it, and I said, "Well, there's a program called OA." And I told her a little bit about it. And I said, "I think I'm going to try that." And she said, "Good, try it. Something has to work." So I came into the program and I went to the virtual intergroup because it was COVID time. And I attended meetings online. And I went to the meetings in my area online. So the people were fairly close to me. or in New York and in my region. And I joined the region and I started doing service. And my sponsor picked me. What happened was, because of AA, I knew I had to call three people a day. So I got numbers of people and I started calling them. And there was this one woman I called a lot because she had a lot of helpful advice. And one day I was talking to her and I said, you know, she would tell me things to do, how to write down things and how to work one steps one, two, and three. And there were questions that she sent me. And so one day I said, hey, would you like to be my sponsor? And she said, what do you think we've been doing all this time, dear? And I said, oh, okay. And that's how I got my sponsor. And she took me through the steps. I took a while for me to get through the 12 steps, took over a year. And it's not because I'm stupid, it's because it just took me a while to trust everything and know. And it took me a while to understand what a higher power was. I got stuck on step three because I didn't want to have the God of my religious background because that didn't do me any good. And so I found good, not good orderly direction, but the great outdoors as my higher power. And as long as I had a higher power, I would be all right. That's what she kept telling me. And I said, okay. And she asked me to describe my higher power. And I did that and I drew it out. And it was a man because that's all I knew. But now I call it the universe or my higher power and I don't genderify it. And then I started doing my step four. And I found that to be incredibly difficult. One of the things that I had trouble with were to say what my good points were. I knew what my bad points were. That was easy. But to know what my good points was really hard. I thought I was useless, worthless. I didn't think I had anything to give to anybody. And my sponsor showed me that that wasn't true, that I'm not stupid, that I do have something to give. And by then, I was about 6 months into the program, and I found OA Footsteps. And I knew I found my people. And I found the 3 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time. I don't know what that is for you, but it's 3 a.m. Eastern Time. And I found that meeting, the two-way prayer meeting. And I loved it from the minute I set foot into the meeting. I absolutely loved it. And I started doing two-way prayers. And I found that my higher power would speak to me through the two-way prayer. And it was real. And miracles started happening. My diabetes went away. My fear of men got better. I didn't fear as much as I did before. I was able to go out. I was able to go out at night if I had to, because before that, I stopped driving at night because it terrified me. And also, I was terrified of men. And when I had over a year of abstinence, I became a WSBC delegate and I went to Albuquerque. And after that, we took a little holiday, a couple of us, and went around to Sedona and other parts of Arizona. And I was with a man for a week, and he didn't scare me, and he didn't hurt me, and he was kind. And the poor thing got COVID, but he survived, and we all did. And it was a wonderful time. And I got to learn a lot about myself. And that was a huge service that I did. I have a friend, a buddy, who's part of this group. Oh, time's up. Okay.
No,
Is that, no, that.
that's not time's up. I'm sorry, that's 10 minutes.
Oh, that's 10 minutes. Oh,
I'm
okay.
gonna reset the clock.
Thank you. I found a buddy in these meetings. I found really good friends in these meetings, and I became trusting of them, and I share with them my deepest, darkest secrets. And one of the promises that came true for me was I no longer wanted to kill myself, because all through my life I used to cut, I used to all that stuff I used to do, and I no longer wanted to die. I wanted to live, and that was a miracle, because, like I said, all my life I wanted to kill myself. I was always coming up with new ways of doing it, and one of the ways I was doing it was to overeat. I knew what I was doing, and I did it anyway because I wanted to die. And something changed in me, and it was the steps. I finally did my fifth step on my sponsor, and I felt so much better. I felt hope that my character defects would go away or get lessened. And they did. Some of them are still with me, a lot of them are still with me, but they're less than what they were. And it's only because of the steps. And because I go to meetings and I do a lot of service. When I celebrated my 3 years, I decided to go for a board position at OA Footsteps. And I became the secretary. And I've been enjoying that immensely. It's a lot of hard work. The secretary does a lot. And sometimes it's overwhelming for me, but I'm doing it. And they tell me I'm doing a pretty good job. So that's a miracle too, that I'm doing a good job and I'm sticking to my commitment. And I'm working with a bunch of people that some of them I knew very well, some of them I didn't know very well, and we're all getting along and it's wonderful. And I decided to become a WSBC delegate again this year, even though it's virtual. And next year I get to go to Albuquerque again because it's a 2-year commitment. And that's also a miracle. For me to go away anywhere outside of the house is unbelievable that I can do that. And I can do that now. I can get on a plane. Planes used to terrify me. I would not fly anywhere. I would drive, but I would not fly. And last year, I flew to Albuquerque, to Arizona, back to New York, and I got on a cruise ship and went to Alaska for a holiday. That was unheard of before. I would never do that. In October 25th, I lost my beloved cat, Katie. And that was devastating. I thought I was going to eat over it, but I threw myself into service. And I just, the more I did in service, the better I felt about it. But it was still hard. I had to go through the grief process, which I'm still going through today. And I was able to rescue two cats who are behind me in the picture. And they're my babies. They're 10 months old. And their names are Sophie and Tess. And they became the mascots of OA Footsteps. And I love them to death. And I take care of them. And I'm able to do that. I'm able to do that. In fact, one of them belongs in OA. She's an overeater. And she appears on camera periodically and comes to meetings with me every day. I still go to at least 1 to 3 meetings a day. And today it's going to be 2 meetings for me today, the 3 a.m. and the 5 a.m. How much time do I have left?
You have almost 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
I sponsor people now. I actually sponsor people. I have something to give back. And I just picked up a temporary sponsee. And I'm sponsoring a woman who's got a lot of issues. Some of them are similar to mine. And we're both neurodiverse. I go to the Neurodiverse Freethinker meeting. It's for people who have mental health issues and also have higher power issues. And I don't believe in a religious God. And I fit in well in my neurodiverse meetings. And my neurodiversity has gotten better. I'm still in therapy and I still go once every 2 weeks. And I still am in medication for my mental illness. And all of that is fine. I'm able to go about my business. I'm able to live today where I couldn't before. I had so many things that stopped me from living. And now I live. And I take care of a 95-year-old mother. And I take care of a 64-year-old woman who's my partner and who's very sick right now. He's been in the hospital for 6 weeks, almost dying a couple of times. And I'm her proxy. And I had to make life and death decisions for her. So I've been under a lot of stress these past couple of months. And I've had to give up some service because of it. But I persevered and I have my friends to help me through it. And I have people I could talk to about it who give me advice or who just listen and tell me they understand. And that's wonderful. So, all in all, I have a pretty good life. And one of the things that saved me from myself is service. I highly recommend service to stay abstinent. In Footsteps, I'm known as the waiting room queen. And I've been doing it for almost 4 years. And I've been on the security committee and the TSW committee and the data committee and the digital
2 minute
committee.
warning.
Thank you. So I keep myself very busy. So I highly recommend service. I thank you, Judy, for allowing me to do this. And thank you, everybody.